Armageddon is well known in our culture as the final battle for the future of the planet. But the way people imagine this battle differs greatly from the biblical reality. According to Hollywood, Armageddon is a special effects punch-up where the outcome is doubtful right up until the last minute. According to the Bible, Armageddon is all build-up and no follow-through. It's a case of first round, first minute in the Bible. Before we consider Armageddon in the Bible, we'll set the scene in the book of Revelation. Let me take you through an outline of the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, John sees a vision of the risen Christ. In chapters 2 to 3, Christ addresses seven churches in Asia. In chapters 4 and 5, as a slain lamb, the Son of God approaches the enthroned Father and he takes the scroll from his hands. And these are the title deeds to creation. Then we have the largest section of Revelation, from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 20. This shows the unraveling of the scroll. Jesus the Lamb unfolds God's history. These chapters show us the history of the world from Christ's first coming until his second coming. And so chapters 21 and 22 show us God's new world, the happily ever after, the new heavens and the new earth. This is the ultimate happy ending. Most people think of Revelation as a book about the future. Yet the great majority of the book, especially chapters 6 to 20, tells us about the present. What we see in chapters 6 to 20 are seven action replays of this history of the world from different angles. So we see in chapter 6 the opening of the seven seals. In chapters 8 through 11 we see the blowing of the seven trumpets. In chapters 12 through 14, we meet the unholy trinity, the dragon, Satan, the beast, and the false prophet, his earthly intermediaries. We also meet the anti-church. Just as we meet the anti-trinity, we meet the anti-church in these chapters, Babylon. In chapters 15 and 16, we see the pouring out of the seven bowls of judgment. And then we see the defeat of the four evil forces, sort of from the ground up. First, we see the destruction of Babylon, the false church. That's chapters 17 and 18. Then in chapter 19, we see the destruction of the beast and the false prophet. And then in chapter 20, the destruction of Satan himself. And so we come to the issue of Armageddon. Now, some may not agree with me about that outline of Revelation, but it seems clear to me that these are not seven consecutive scenes of judgment, one happening after the other. Here are seven action replays of the same reality, talking about the same history from Christ's first coming to his second coming. And yet those seven different angles are just seven different facets of the one history. And one of the reasons I take that view about Revelation is because of Armageddon. You see, there are three final punch-ups narrated in Revelation. They correspond to the defeat of Babylon, the defeat of the beast and the false prophet, and the defeat of Satan. Now, either God fails to eradicate evil, like twice, but kind of gets it right on the third attempt, or all three descriptions are true descriptions of the end, when God will truly eradicate the evil of Babylon, the false beast, the false prophet, and Satan. If that's right, then the Armageddon passages are different angles on the same last battle. And see if you can spot a common theme between these descriptions of the last battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, verse 16, "Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" And the whole battle is over. There's not even a fight, not even a shot fired. All build up, no follow through. And then there's Revelation 19, 19. If you ask me, this is just narrating the same battle from a different angle. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army." That's Christ. "But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf." Just instantly, there is no battle. It's all over before it's even begun. Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10, we see the same thing. "When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Do you notice the common theme? There is this menacing build-up followed by a complete non-event of a conclusion. This stockpiling of weapons, there's the amassing of troops, the saber rattling. But the minute God has had enough, it's over. There's just this knockout punch before the bell has even sounded. Evil is not an equal and opposite force, which gives God a good run for his money. Hollywood would like to believe that. It makes for a better film. But as we saw with The Bottomless Pit, darkness is no match for the light. Emptiness is no match for fullness. When it comes to Armageddon, there is no fight. God is the winner, and the Lamb is victorious. Do you worry about the future? Maybe as you contemplate the next year, are you worried about what will come? Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about where this world is heading? Does it seem like the darkness will win? There's a lot of saber rattling. There's a lot of amassing of powers. And it looks like there's going to be this almighty puncher. But at the end of all things, as 2 Thessalonians puts it, Christ will overcome the evil one by the breath of his mouth and by the splendor of his coming. It might seem like the darkness will win, but take heart, the Lamb conquers. When push really does come to shove, even Armageddon is no contest.